Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrini here with some special bonus coverage of Survivor San Juan del Sur, the first of two bonus shows that we're doing to get you over the hump until Wednesday night. And Survivor know-it-alls here as we are in now the final week before the finale of Survivor San Juan del Sur. Today we're going to be talking with Andrea Belke, our own Miss Survivor, who returns triumphantly to Rob Has a Podcast to talk with us about her thoughts about the season. Very much looking forward to talking with Andrea and hearing about what she's up to and what her take is on all the players left in the season after last week's very interesting vote off where Alec ended up going out. If you missed it on Thursday, we did our 4 hour plus podcast, the longest podcast I've ever done, the longest podcast in the history of Rob as a Podcast with Tyson. And people are still trying to work their way through it like a Thanksgiving dinner, trying to just cram a little bit more in here and there. And so I believe it's worth the wait to get all the way through it on the podcast with Tyson. Of course, that's up there as well, in addition to our Amazing Race podcast from Friday night. Turning ahead to this week, okay, this is the podcast with Andrea. On Tuesday, I'll have a show with you with the curator of the Survivor Hall of Fame, Gordon Holmes, is going to be my guest in a special podcast about what he's up to and the voting for the Survivor Hall of Fame, which is going on this week. Then we'll have Survivor Know-It-Alls, and then Spencer will be our guest on the final regular Survivor podcast before the finale of San Juan del Sur, which is going to be a week from Wednesday. And of course, we'll talk to the next person that gets kicked off the show. So make sure you don't miss any of the shows. You want to subscribe to our podcast feed, which is at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Never miss an episode or catch all the shows. Also on our new home at Podcast One, podcast1.com. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at True Brain. True Brain is a neuroscience company that has created the world's first drinks from active nootropics designed to improve focus, memory, and mental clarity. Those are the big three that I need. My listeners can get their first supply at 40% off. Check it out at truebrain.com/Rob. True Brain is a neuroscience company that has created the first functional beverage made with active nootropics to improve focus, memory, and mental clarity. They call it a think drink. When you drink it, you will improve your focus and be able to do your work more effectively. I actually like to drink some of these in the afternoon. I've got one of the turbos over here. They sent me a box and I like them. I drink them in the afternoon. I feel like Stephen Fishback sometimes. Designed by neuroscientists led by Andrew Hill, PhD, not Jatia, PhD. He's a cognitive neuroscientist and nootropics expert. Many people are already leveraging True Brain to get things done. People like writers, CEOs, athletes, programmers, designers, lawyers, craftsmen, day traders, artists, and even podcasters. Even podcasters that have two earbud shows. True Brain comes in a monthly supply right to your door. Our listeners get their first box for just $29.99. It's normally $50 by going to our link at truebrain.com/Rob. That's true without the E, TRU brain.com, and save 40% on your first supply of True Brain. All right, everybody, we are very lucky today to be in the presence of our reigning Miss Survivor. She is a two-time Survivor contestant and a RHAP favorite. Here she is. Let's welcome back to the show Miss Survivor Andrea Belke.
Hello. Thanks,
Andrea,
for having me.
Don't call me Belke Belke.
You've gotten it right, I think, the last three podcasts. So I think we're good to go.
No, I've got it now. I've got it. Once you become Miss Survivor, I will get your name correct. So there's still hope for Jordan Kalish out there. All right. So first off, Andrea, tell me, how are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, I'm in New York. It's actually nice out today. It's been raining the last couple of days, which has not been fun. But I've been wonderful.
You're in New York. You're enjoying New York. You feel like you are planted there. I know the last time we spoke in person, you were thinking about maybe making a switch. But you're good in New York right now.
I do that switch thing like every couple months, because last time I saw you in person, I came out. I did that podcast with Vetus.
Yes.
And I think I was telling you. I was saying, yeah, I'm gonna move here. And I was so set. And then I came back to New York and I don't know, I like got a new job and I liked New York. And then in September, I went back out to LA for 2 weeks for something. And then again, I was like telling Natalie from my first season, I'm like, I'm going to move here. And then I came back here and I stayed. So I don't know. I'm just going to do some sort of back and forth thing for a bit.
Yeah. And what are you doing now for your job? Because I see videos of you all the time and you're talking about sports.
Yeah, I guess I'm into sports now.
Yeah. So what is it that you do? Where can we see that stuff?
Yeah, I'm working for CBS Local Sports and I host the Untitled Sports Show. And it's just a weekly thing. We do a football highlights, sports highlights, and I'm actually having a blast with it. And they're so fun to work with. I also have this idea for a show with my friend that we're kind of developing, and CBS is interested, CBS Local here in New York. And so I'm going to pitch that to them in this coming year, 2015. So I don't know. I'm really excited. It's cool to work with them. So for now, I'm going to stay. Like if I'm working, I'm going to stay.
Okay, so when you say it's for CBS Local, does that mean that it's for a specific market or it's like what you do gets shipped to all of the different CBS Local markets?
Yep, I think it's on most all of the CBS Local. So if you type in CBS Local Sports and you just scroll down a bit, you should see my face pop up. Mm-hmm. Or just type in the Untitled Sports Show. And then they're on a bunch of other sites. Like some of my family members would be like, oh, I saw you on this site on just like, you know, the little side screen.
Yeah.
So apparently it's out and about. So I've been doing that for a few months and it's been a blast. And we're kind of just seeing where the show goes. So for now, that's kind of what I'm up to. I'm still working at Ask Men and then a bunch of other random jobs that I book.
Yeah.
Like I was shooting, like I'm doing these car commercials for Keeler Honda upstate New York. And it's so funny because it's like 2.5 hours of this crazy Vanna White makeup. For me to be, you know, do a car commercial where I'm saying, why is Keeler my dealer? And it's like, I don't know. It's just my life is really random, but it's fun. So,
okay. Well, it sounds like you're doing good. You're living the dream.
Yeah, I guess. I'm the survivor this year. So, I mean, things are good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that you've been able to parlay Miss Survivor into so many big things in 2014. You've kept the luster of Miss Survivor going.
Yeah, you know, I feel a little bad because, and I hope the viewers aren't upset with me, it's just that I know when I first was crowned Miss Survivor, I had all these awesome plans. So I was like, okay, cool, like maybe we can do something in New York. And then it seemed like you and I just kept missing each other. I know when you were coming out here, I was in LA, and then it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really able to, you know, come on to your Know It Alls Live or whatever.
Yeah.
So I hope that people aren't upset. But I did do some other things. I did a lot of secret underground Miss Survivor work.
Yes,
I can't talk about all of it, but I played in Survivor Brooklyn, so I represented RHAP in Survivor Brooklyn.
What is Survivor Brooklyn?
I won it. I mean, no spoilers, but
well, wait, you ruined it.
I actually won. It was actually so fun.
Well, what is Survivor Brooklyn?
There's a bunch of Survivor fans that contacted a friend of mine about, it's basically, we were in Prospect Park and I don't know how many people there were, but there were three tribes and we played Survivor Brooklyn in Prospect Park for a day and there were idols and I actually found two idols. Like I played so much better in Survivor Brooklyn than ever.
Than against actual Survivor players?
Yeah. Hey, Sophie was in Survivor Brooklyn, okay?
How did Sophie do in Survivor Brooklyn?
She did okay.
Yeah, because I got to be honest, Andrea, you didn't do great on Survivor Wine and Cheese when I spoke with Brian Corden.
I did not listen to that podcast. What did he say?
You were one of the first people out.
Yeah,
according
but
to Brian Corden.
I would expect that.
Yeah. So,
as much as I'm kind of back in the Wine and Cheese.
Yes.
As Miss Survivor, I was trying to really mend those fractured relationships, which I think I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I still think I'm on the bottom of the wine.
You're low on the totem pole.
Oh,
it's like
one of the lowest. Sure.
It's like Survivor Redemption Island all over again.
Pretty much.
You're in the alliance, but you're on the bottom.
Definitely. I accept that position. I think I deserve to be there after what I pulled.
Okay. So will there be more Survivor Brooklyn?
Well, the guy that was running it actually moved to LA. So as long, I mean,
oh.
I don't know. Someone else might have to step in and host it.
Okay, so maybe.
Alex Forstenhausler played too.
How did he do?
He did pretty well. He was trying to get me out the whole time. But then I got him out because I had an idol. I had two idols.
And you won in front of the jury in Survivor Brooklyn?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, you probably won't be able to watch it till YouTube of 2017, but people were really mean to me. And it actually was, it kind of showed me what it's like to be in the final tribal council as someone that could potentially win, because you're really hurt by what people say. And this is just a one day thing in Prospect Park, and I was really affected.
All right, I can't wait, even though you ruined it for everybody.
I know. Whatever. There's always spoilers. What are you going to do?
All right, well, we'll talk about your Miss Survivor reign, I'm sure, more as we go along here. But I want to get your take on Survivor Blood versus Water 2 and hear what you have to say about this. Now, you were behind on the episodes, but you binge-watched the whole season, right? In order to be able to talk with us today?
Yeah, well, see, I've seen most of the episodes. I think there's one episode, where Julie stole the trail mix. That was one episode I just have not seen.
So trail mix scandal.
I hope that wasn't a really important episode, but I don't think it was too important.
Nobody got voted out in that one.
Okay, cool. So otherwise, I've seen most of them. And I just recently, the last couple of days, have been trying to catch up on as many podcasts and blogs and a couple of the season or the episodes I haven't seen. And I mean, I like it. I hate Survivor seasons ever, because they're always interesting. It's not my favorite, though, because especially this last episode, there was so much that I wanted to happen and it just seemed like such a downer, you know?
You're in New York. Now, are you very much in the Josh and Reed camp? Were you pulling for them very hard this season?
Yeah, see, that's a problem. I'm very biased.
Because,
like, I've watched a couple episodes with them and I love them and they're so great. But of course, when you're in person with everybody, you're going to be obsessed with them. So it's hard because I'm obviously Team Reed, Team Josh.
Now, you went through that, though, because when you were playing in Redemption Island, right? Were you already in New York?
No, I moved to New York right after that season ended.
Okay, so, but you were sort of like the new person on the block where you came to New York, and then you were right off the show, and you were very much embraced by the New York survivors in the same way that Josh and Reed are now.
Oh, very much so.
Yes.
I mean, those were the golden days.
Yes. Yes.
That was when I was very much loved by everybody.
You were very much loved, and you lured them into your web so you could vote out Francesca, right?
Yeah, that was exactly how I just wanted.
Is that what Josh and Reed are working on now? Are they trying to lull all of the New York survivors into a false sense of security, and then on the next All Stars, they're going to take one of them out?
Oh, I hope so. I really do. It's so funny.
Maybe it's you this time.
I don't want to play again. Because if I do go back, that's probably what would happen. Because I really love Reed. Like, I like Josh too, but I know Reed a little better because we text. But I think that I would be tricked by Reed or something.
Yes.
And I'd be like, that's karma. Like, it would be karma that I was taken out by someone that I really liked.
So why? What is it about Reed that has made such a connection between you guys?
Well, we have a lot of mutual friends, not just Survivor people, but Broadway people. I'm friends with the whole
Frankie Grande.
Yeah, Frankie
I saw
Grande.
A picture of Reed and Frankie Grande recently.
Yeah, they were hanging out.
Yeah.
So we both, we have Frankie in common and like that whole crew, which I kind of hang out with. So we just,
What's that whole crew? All Broadway people or all Big Brother people?
Mostly Broadway people. Well, okay. The reason I met Frankie in the first place was that one of his best friends, John Eric, we were at a bar together, and he's a huge Survivor fan, so he met me, and that turned into some sort of friendship, and then I met Frankie, and then I had through a couple Survivor viewing parties at Frankie's place, and then that's how a casting director came and saw Frankie, and then it kind of like the whole thing catapulted into Frankie being on Big Brother. Not that I'm taking complete credit for it, but that's kind of how like things
it's
happen.
It's your fault?
It's my fault! I created that, I'm so sorry.
And did you watch Big Brother this season?
I did, yeah.
Yes, and were you a fan of Frankie Grande?
Yeah, I mean, I know him, so you have to be.
You
it's
have
so
to
hard.
Be.
Even if, that's the thing, is like when you know people and they go on the show, even if they're horrible on the show, not saying he was horrible, but I mean, I know a lot of people gave him a lot of backlash. I'll always like him because he's my friend. So no matter what, I'm going to be biased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't very popular with everybody.
I know, and I get that. Because watching, it was really hard because I'm like, okay, I understand why, you know.
And I liked him in the first half of the season, but then I felt like he did a little bit too much of the, you know, it felt like he was kind of implying that he was, you know, more important than everybody else because of his sister and because he's a mogul and stuff like that. And
social media mogul. Hey, at least he embraced it, though, because I know on his Twitter, I think he changed it to social media mogul. So at least he can kind of look back and, you know, that happens, though. I remember even, like, for me, when I watch my seasons back, it's so hard to watch. You're like, oh, that's how I look on TV. That's how I come across. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea. I haven't really talked to him too much about how he thought he was portrayed or how other people saw him. So who knows?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's not get too far down the Big Brother rabbit hole. Let's
stay the course.
Let's bring it back to Survivor. So you were bummed out this week when Reed got voted off.
Yeah, I was really bummed. I was really, really bummed when the episode before where Reed was trying to get John out, because that would have been so amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then stick to the plan. Yeah, Keith couldn't stick to the plan. Now, did you relate to Reed in that situation of somebody trying to really make things happen? Like kind of like in Survivor Caramo and you trying to get Brenda out?
But I mean, I was a little unaware of what was really going on.
So was Keith.
Wait, you're saying I'm like Keith?
No, you're like Reed. You're trying to scramble.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. I didn't really have someone blow up the plan for me, though. Mine was like I was kind of just by myself. Well, with Eddie.
Yeah.
It was like me and Eddie, like thinking we're causing something, and then it was just blindsided with an idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Reed ends up going out this week and then followed by Alec. And of course, the big swing that ended up happening this week was where Natalie decided to go and keep Keith around rather than keep Alec and sort of blindsiding her alliance. And the big question this week is, was there upside in making that move?
I don't think so. See, what I'm really confused about, and I'm sure you talked about this with Tyson and with Steven, but why wouldn't, at that point, if she's going to try to blindside John anyway in some way or go against what he's doing, why wouldn't they just try to take out Jacqueline? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I feel like we haven't talked about that enough even, because we touched on it of if you're going to make that move, why? It's almost like that was like the third thing that she could do. Like, it's like, okay, well, I can't take out John. I would say then you do nothing. But if you're going to do something, why not try to take out at least the other half of his alliance? At least because he's going to be on his guard now anyway. You might as well get more of a shot in on him if you want to try to hurt John.
Exactly. And if she could have at that point pulled in Keith and Alec and then Baylor. Right.
Yes.
And that, well, I mean, whatever, like Missy's not going to go against Baylor. So if she has Baylor tight, Missy's eventually going to come back to them. So why not pull off a move and take out Jacqueline? So then you've already bonded Keith and Alec and then Baylor, and then Missy's going to have to come back because the numbers aren't there for John.
Yeah.
So then again, you have John with the idol. So he's going to have to play it. But you're still, then you're bringing in two other people, Keith and Alec, who are now going to be with you. So that's what I was really confused about. Because I'm like, why hasn't even been bringing, like, Jacqueline could have been an easy vote out and weakening John.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, if you're gonna do it, it just felt like such a half measure or a quarter measure even just to make the move to keep Keith around. Because now you got everybody pissed off at you and John and Jacqueline are still around. And I know Natalie feels like that she has Missy and that she's not going to go ahead and flip on her, but she could potentially heading down to the final six. And I think it's going to be a telling vote because, you know, people don't want to get into that 3-3 split at the final six. That's where we had the rock draw in the first blood versus water. And I think that if, you know, Natalie feels like she has Missy and Baylor with her, but what if she doesn't? I feel like it could easily end up being a position where Missy and Baylor say, okay, well, now we're mad at Natalie. Let's go with John and Jacqueline and vote for Natalie. Now, she has the idol, and they do know that, but, you know, they could potentially split the votes against them. They put two on Natalie and two on Keith.
I think Natalie's screwed at this point. I think it was such a dumb move because she should have just done nothing, I think, at that point, because Baylor and Missy really liked Natalie, And I know in one of Baylor's secret scenes, she's like, I'm going to go to the final three with my mom and with Natalie. And then obviously John and Jacqueline like Natalie. So I just think that she really screwed herself.
Yeah.
I think she's a little too obsessed with making big moves. And that's kind of where that came out of.
Now, you want to make big moves. You like big moves, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying I'm like a great player. Like I went my first season. My problem was my first season. I couldn't make any moves. It mm-hmm. sucked. And so then my second season, I'm like, I got to make big moves. So
yes.
I mean, it's a little obsessive. So if I ever play again, it'll be like a mixture of the two, hopefully.
But where does that come from? Is that from yourself? Or you say like, you know, when people like talked about your season and talked about, you know, between you and Natalie and people in that alliance where it was like, oh, all season long, you guys just let Boston Rob do what he wanted and nobody made a big move. Do you come into the second season feeling like, oh, I'll show everybody I'm going to make big moves this time? Or is that from Jeff and or production of like, hey, guys, come on, let's do this big moves. Let's make these big moves happen. So is it internal or external, the pressure to make a big move?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think a lot of it was actually that my first season, everyone kind of made fun of us. And so I think I went in thinking, hey, like, even if I'm voted out early, I want to prove that, look, I'm capable of making moves. Like, I'm not just going to sit there and follow everyone. I'm going to make big moves. So I think actually a lot of it came from how I was treated after the first season.
And is it from the fans or is it from the other survivors?
Now that I say it out loud, it sounds so lame, but kind of the fans, like kind of what everyone in general was saying. And I guess other survivors as well, because they're fans of the season and they're fans of the show.
Right. Like if you read like Steven's People blog or something or hear like
mean,
on the...
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't read Steven's blog?
No, I would.
Okay.
But Steven is... I like Steven, but it's always hard to read his blogs because he's really mean. He's always been so mean about me on both seasons. I'll have to talk to him about that. No, I'm pretty sure I have talked to him about that, but it's not going to change.
he's a tough critic. He wants to see his big moves. Because I think that would be a lot of pressure. Because I know that if I was out there, and again, you know, this is the pot calling the kettle black. If I was out there, I'd be thinking like, oh, I don't want the other survivors to say like I didn't do this. And it would be, I think I would be in my own head a lot.
It's hard because then, even though I went out on Caramon and made some moves, some of them seemed unnecessary, and then I got critiqued for making moves just to make moves.
Yeah, that's
like taking,
taking
Corinne out early, which I actually think was a good move because she was at the hip. She was tied with Malcolm. That actually saved our whole alliance. So I don't think it was... Well, actually, but I had wanted Corinne out way earlier. I think that's what people are upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was like really early on, pre-merge. I was like, we got to get Corinne out. But everyone else was on board with that. And it's because she was really close with Malcolm. So I think that it actually wasn't that bad of an idea. But I got critiqued for trying to make moves too early. So either way, it's so... I don't know. It's impossible. Unless you win, everyone's going to critique you for something.
Oh, well, even when you do win, we're going to critique you. Look at Tony last season.
That's true. There's really no way to actually win on Survivor, unless you're maybe Boston Rob.
You know what? I'm sure we critiqued plenty during Survivor Redemption Island.
Very true.
If you go back...
Why did you throw the clue into the volcano?
Yeah. Well, I didn't think he was going to win that whole season. I said, this is too easy that they're not going to show it to us this way because everybody's going to be mad at him in the end. I didn't think going down to the end that Boston Rob was going to win. So, you know, what the hell do I know?
You don't know anything.
I don't know anything. I do know I was in a situation like Natalie was in Survivor the Amazon. And I don't think I talked about this with Steven or Tyson, but it was in the final seven. I had a plan that I wanted to vote out Alex, who I felt like was the biggest threat. And I sort of had all of my pieces in where I wanted them to be, just like Natalie did at the final seven. And I was going to make my big move. And we had our immunity challenge. And I ultimately, this was the one time I ended up winning a challenge and I ended up winning immunity. And so I felt great about the plan, but I needed to think about what am I going to do if Alex wins immunity and I have this whole plan in place to vote him out. And what I was going to do was rather than do nothing, I was going to have either Jenna or Heidi get voted out at that point. And it was going to be messy and it was going to be, you know, not nearly as neat and not nearly the impact that I wanted. And I would have definitely exposed myself and given a chance for a counterattack against me. But I still think that that's the better move than doing nothing.
Still make a move. Yeah.
Yeah. Or voting off like one of the people over, like, it's not that Natalie did nothing. But I feel like she like made the move that was the least impactful. Now, what I've read from people is that we're really underplaying that Keith can beat John in the challenges. I think Keith's won, what, two immunity challenges so far. He might have won two and a reward, but he's done well in the challenges. And he's the key to making sure John can get beat in the challenges. Do you buy that? Do you buy that you need to keep Keith around over Alec because he's the one that can make sure John doesn't win immunity and then they could blindside him?
I mean, it is really odd how great Keith is at challenges. Who would have ever thunk that Keith, of all people, would be like a big challenge threat? But I don't know if that's really that strong enough of an argument. Like, I don't think, because Keith also blows up everyone's games at Tribal Council. So, I mean, he is good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very possible. I guess we'll know next episode. I think it'll be very telling. If it comes down to Keith and John and Keith wins, then wow, Natalie saw something, you know, maybe that was a good move that she kept him, but then she has to still be able to pull off the vote out of, you know, John or Jacqueline.
Do you really feel like Keith is that great at the challenges, or you feel like he's been lucky with the challenges that have come up?
He's decent. I don't think he's that great.
Mm-hmm.
He's like fine, but I don't think that Keith is so much better than Natalie even.
Yeah.
Like Natalie's strong and tough. I think she should be just as good as he is.
Yeah. So Keith has won immunity exactly. He won immunity twice. He won the first one, the episode that you didn't, that you missed, he won immunity.
Okay.
And then also he won immunity this time. And in between, Jeremy, Baylor, Reed, and John have won immunity challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And the reward challenges have been all like team reward challenges, with the exception of this last one.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Which Natalie won. Yeah. So
it's not
been like, you know, Keith has been so dominant in these challenges. Like, he's hardly like an Aussie or somebody who's just been such a big challenge threat.
No.
So
that's why it makes it even more confusing that she went that way.
Yeah, it's, you know, she made the move that it was sort of like, you know, somebody like at the top of the food chain would make, as opposed to a move that somebody who's sort of like more in the middle of the food chain might make.
Exactly, where they can almost cover it up more. But yeah. I think now she's screwed. I mean, now, okay, so let's say next episode, I was trying to think like what her next move is. Because I know it showed her going back to camp and saying that she just kind of screwed up. So do you think that they're going to believe that?
Well, the problem is that she told Baylor what she was going to do, and Baylor is going to tell on Natalie. She's going to be like, Mom, Natalie told me she was going to vote out, because Baylor had the hots for Alec.
Yeah, she did.
She did.
She totally has the hots for Alec. And then she kind of covered it up saying, oh, well, you know, like brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, like kind of just like shrugging it off. It was so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that Baylor keeps that secret. She's going to tell her mom.
She's going to tell on Natalie.
And then Missy's going to tell John and Jacqueline, and Natalie's screwed. If Baylor somehow keeps it under wraps, then maybe Natalie can, if John doesn't win immunity, they could try to take out, well, still, he may play his idol. They could try to blindside if Keith wins immunity.
Now, what's your take on, do you think that Missy is going to get medevaced this week?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? So Tyson said the same thing. Tyson said he thought it was a red herring. I'm kind of feeling like she might.
Really? That would be such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like a huge Missy fan or anything, but that sucks when you're medevaced that late in the game.
Well, what about Eric? That Eric who got medevaced, what, on day 37? He came back from like the tribal council of the final five?
And, well, Eric's was so weird because I don't even know what happened. Like, I think he was kind of... like, I still don't know what happened. Like, he fainted or something?
Yeah, you would know better than me.
Oh, I was there and I don't even know. I think he just... he just fainted and was delusional and was seeing things. Actually, what he told us, which sounded really crazy, is that he didn't remember any of the votes being read. He thought that he thought someone else was voted off who wasn't, and he just kind of passed out or something. It was really bizarre.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. So I don't know though, but I'm really hoping she's not, just because I want to. It sucks when someone leaves the game, and like, you know, even Julie left the game, and it just changes everything. And it wasn't even really fair because that person was still supposed to be there.
Yeah. Do you feel like the move that Natalie made here to vote out Keith instead of, or sort of Alec instead of Keith, is it sort of like the kind of stuff like where, like in Redemption Island, where Boston Rob is like making moves to keep different people that he wants around to go to the end with, where he's keeping Philip around and changing the vote to make somebody else go home instead of a person that he wants to potentially drag with him to the end?
Ish. The thing, though, does Natalie really want to go to the end with Keith? I think Keith would have a way better chance of winning against her in a final three than Alec.
Yeah, you know, I think there's something to that, because we're in, like, we watch the season, we say, well, how could Keith win? He's been a terrible player this whole season, or at least a bad player during most of this run. But then you look at who's on the jury, and it's like, you know, there are people on the jury that are positive, including his son. You have Alec. He's got no animosity towards Keith. You have Reed and Josh, who are probably don't have any animosity towards Keith. Jeremy, who doesn't love Keith, but you know, there's like four guys there that are potentially pro Keith.
Yeah, well, I think also I do think that I'm not sure if Keith could make a good argument, just his talking abilities, but I still think that he did way more and has more credibility in these one more challenges than Alec. Like, Alec seems like he was just floating around,
mm-hmm.
clueless. So I'm not really sure if it's the same thing as what Boston Rob did, because Boston Rob seemed like a little more smarter decision, like of who he kept around. I'm really confused. Maybe there's stuff we're not seeing. Maybe Natalie and Keith are way tighter than we can even tell, you know?
Really?
I don't know. I'm really just confused. Like, I was such a confusing thing for me. And I was just, that's why this episode was such a bummer, because she couldn't take out John. So I was like, okay, that sucks. And I'm like, okay, didn't take out Jacqueline. I'm like, she's going to take out Jacqueline. And then it was never brought up. And then when she did that, I was like, girl, what are you doing?
Now, what's been your take on John and Jacqueline this season? Because, you know, you were somebody who, at least certainly in your first season, and maybe hints of in Karamoan, that you were reluctant towards the showmance, right? With Matt, you had the opportunity to, you know, try to keep him around, and you ultimately decided that it was better for your game not to have the showmance around. Do I have that correct?
Well, yeah, in the long run, it was better to take Matt out, for sure.
Better to take Matt out. And so we have now John and Jacqueline, who are a real-life couple, who are having to play the game with each other. So what's been your read on John and Jacqueline throughout the season, playing the game as a couple, who, especially as a couple, not getting along so well?
Well, first of all, I would hate to play with a boyfriend, especially a boyfriend like John. Because it seems like, even though Jacqueline's had some sway, it seems like he's doing everything. He's finding the idols. He's making most of the moves. Everyone's pointing to John as the person that's pretty much running their little alliance. And that would suck. Like, I could not play with a John as my boyfriend, because I think I would want to make more of the decisions. So I think it would be really hard. So that's why I'm curious, like, what Jacqueline thinks. Like, does she really just want to go to the end and she's okay if he wins? I don't know. So that's odd. And then it just as a whole, I mean, they're doing pretty well, even though they've been flip-floppy. They're still there and everyone kind of looks to them as the center of everything. So, and he keeps finding idols. So as a pair, they're doing pretty well. I think they've been getting lucky too. Like, John's smart, but he's not that smart. Like, he's a little gullible. And, you know, obviously way too easy to trust Natalie when she's sitting there plotting against him. And he's like, I found an idol. So I don't think he's that great. I just think with these players, he's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we have you here, because, you know, I've talked about this with Steven and I talked about it a little bit with Tyson. But I'm glad to have a woman's opinion on this and a woman Survivor player, and let alone Miss Survivor. I would love to get your take on the way that the fight was handled between John and Jacqueline, because I know from you know, how I look at it from a male point of view. But tell me, who was in the right and who was in the wrong in the way that the John and Jacqueline thing was handled?
Oh my gosh, that thing was horrible.
Yeah.
It was. Okay, so I totally get it because I've definitely been, when you're in a relationship with people, like just the tiniest things can make you so mad. So I get that. Like I understand that Jacqueline was just trying to tell him and, you know, what was going on. And so I understood that she was mad. But first of all, you're playing Survivor. This is high stakes. I can't believe they just didn't talk to each other. It seems so petty. And especially when you're also, I mean, there's always going to be the element of you're on TV. So as much as you are living there and this is really going on and you're feeling real emotions, part of me being like, okay, I don't really want my whole family and friends to see me just like giving him the silent treatment when we should be discussing strategy. So I think they should have just gotten over it. Like, I think she could have maybe been mad, but I would have rather saw them just fight it out mm-hmm. and like raise their voices and be like, okay, this is how I feel. That hurts my feelings. So don't do that. And then he'd be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't realize that, blah, blah, blah. And then they fight it out and they're done with it. But to do the silent treatment, I just couldn't believe that that actually happened. And then also that we had to watch a whole episode about the silent treatment, you know?
What about the part where, you know, she has been talking with all of the guys, with Reed and Alec, and they're trying to get her to come over to their side of things. And then John comes back from Exile Island and he says, I just want to spend time with you. And she wants to talk about the game and he shuts her down. What was your take on that?
Oh, well, John made the first mistake, definitely. So he should have talked to her about strategy. I mean, you're there for the game. Like that's a lie. Like he doesn't want to just hang out and like cuddle. Like you should talk about the game, no matter how safe you feel. And then he probably was a little tired and stressed. So when he shut it down and realized he affected her like that, he should have really been sorry and be like, okay, dude, let's talk about strategy. You know, and like, I don't know their relationship. I don't know what they're like, not, you know, on the show, but I wonder how much they fight normally if they're so easy to fight on here.
I think it would be very tricky to be in any sort of couple situation, whether, you know, showmance, I think is different because showmance is like honeymoon. You know, when I think back to like the first like months of like dating Nicole, like it was like a whole different person. Like I can't even think anything that we disagreed on. She was so agreeable about anything. I never had a bad idea for like a year. And, you know, it just is. So I kind of feel like you get caught up in like the newness of it. And it's almost easier in a showman situation because you're so like taken with the other person. But I feel like in a actual existing relationship where you come in with all of the, I don't want to say baggage because I think that's the wrong word, but all of the previous like differences that you've had. And now you have this complicated decision of playing Survivor with a loved one. I think it must be incredibly difficult.
It's got to be so hard. And as much as I can sit here and be like, oh, I wish they would have handled it differently, I feel like I would be 10 times worse playing with a boyfriend. I think I might be fighting the whole time.
No.
So it's tricky for sure. And you're right. Showmances are so different because you don't even really know that person. You're like, oh, that's cool. You're a firefighter from Jersey. That's so cool. Tell me about your dogs. And then, like, I don't know. Then the show ends and you guys just never talk again. You know? You're like captivated with people for a short amount of time. And it is kind of like that honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, you can date somebody for a year and everything's so great. And then all of a sudden, all the problems come out. So how long have they been together?
I don't know. I don't know the extent of their relationship. I would think it's been for a while.
But also,
I mean, I know they are engaged now. They're talking about you know, when they're going to like bring children into the relationship. So it seems pretty serious.
Oh, they're engaged.
Yeah. They got engaged a couple of weeks ago.
I also, aren't they like long distance or something, or that's not happening anymore?
You know, I don't know the exact details.
Because I know when I was looking up their bios, it said they were currently residing in different state, so I was really confused. Okay.
Yeah, but Survivor location stuff is like sometimes that's a little wonky because it's like, oh, we don't have anybody from the center of this country this season, so put your from this place, right?
Got it. I first made a reason somebody had told me that they thought they were long distance, but I'm probably making this up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess overall, I understood that people are going to fight like that because especially someone you love, they just get under your nerves. But I wish there would have been more of a blow up fight. Get it done with and then get back to strategy instead of this long, drawn out thing, you know? It was like really uncomfortable to watch.
Yes. Can you discuss your take on the whole Alec flirting vibe that was going on with John and Jacqueline?
Yeah, so that's interesting because when Jacqueline was talking to him, this is coming from a self-proclaimed flirt. Like, I always get in trouble with flirting because when I talk to guys, I'm not in my mind thinking I'm flirting with this person. I'm just talking to him and I always get yelled at. So people are always telling me, Andrew, you're flirting with that person. And I'm really honestly like, I am. Like, I thought I was just talking and smiling, but okay. So when Jacqueline was flirting, quote unquote, with Alec and vice versa, I actually didn't even see that as weird. Like, I was like, oh, they're just talking. But you have to be really conscious on Survivor because everyone takes little conversations so seriously. So Natalie and Baylor are freaking out. Jacqueline might have had no clue that she was having that impact on them because I don't know if she necessarily thought she was flirting at the time. I found it was interesting because I know even on my season of Karamoan, I got yelled at for always talking with the guys. Oh, you're always flirting with the guys. I'm like, I just think they're cool and less dramatic than all of you guys, but okay. And so then I remember one time Eddie gave me a piece of coconut and Dawn like went into the jungle and cried because she was so upset that I was, you know, going against her wishes of talking to the guys. So I kind of saw that as, oh, it kind of reminded me of when I sometimes talk to people and then other people freak out because they think you're flirting.
Okay, so you think everything was kosher with Alec and Jacqueline?
Yeah, I think they were just being friendly. I mean, they were talking about them all hanging out in Orlando or something. Like, there wasn't anything actually happening between them. However, Jacqueline should realize that people like Natalie and Baylor and everyone else on the tribe is going to be watching that and really pinpointing that, oh, that something's going on there. So she shouldn't have done it, but there's nothing going on with them.
Okay. Did you talk with the other survivors a lot about all the things you were going to do with them after the show was over while you were out there?
Oh, yeah. Eddie and I had all these plans to hang out in Jersey. I know Matt in my first season, we were going to he's going to come visit me in Wisconsin. I think that even made the show.
So stupid.
Because that's what happens is you start to like these people. Just everyone. You're like, oh, I can't wait to meet all your kids because that's what you've been talking about forever. And you make all these plans. And then usually once the season's done, you don't follow through. You just don't do it.
Yeah, I know it's tough.
Okay, so wait. So I think maybe you talked about it with Tyson, but did you think that was flirting? Or were you kind of indifferent?
I thought it was flirtatious. I feel like, you know, and maybe that's just how the Christie brothers are, that, you know, I thought it was, you know, certainly flirtatious, even like the way they were sitting. And there, I still can't get out of my mind. I watched a secret scene from last week where they were all on a boat and Alec was on the boat with John and Jacqueline. And he was just saying about Jacqueline's face. And John was like right there. He's like, man, your ass he might've said your butt, you know, when you were in that challenge on the log and John was like, you know, that it doesn't seem like, so they might as well have that kind of relationship. I don't know. Even when it was kind of weird when earlier in the season, when Jacqueline had to go to Exile Island, you know, they needed to pick somebody to go with Jacqueline to Exile Island and Drew volunteered to go, Drew Christie. And John was like, okay, sure, let's go. And then Drew Christie went to Exile Island with Jacqueline. And then there was a couple shots of him staring at her butt, while she was bending down or walking away or something. So the Christie, but John never seemed to mind with that either.
Okay. So I think the Christie boys are a little inappropriate. So
How dare you? How dare you, Andrea?
Shocking statement. No, but I think that, so I don't think Jacqueline would ever, I don't even think it crossed her mind that she would ever be interested in Alec or ever. I think she was just bored and talking and maybe liking the attention a little bit, but I don't think in her mind at all she was entertaining the idea. Alec and Drew, I think, are a little different. I don't know. That's questionable. If John was kicked off, they maybe would try to cuddle with her. It's a little different, but I don't think it was definitely not going both ways. Now, what's interesting is when you talk to boyfriends about how they would handle it, So John reminds me of somebody I used to date where we had a relationship where if other people were hitting on me, my boyfriend at the time, didn't care. It was weird. And then I also vice versa. I'm just not a jealous person. And then when I date people that aren't jealous either, it's a weird thing where if you're getting hit on or vice versa, you just don't even, you're like, oh, cool, high five. Yeah, I know they're hot. So that kind of reminds me of John, where he's kind of just secure and it thinks it's cool if other guys think his girlfriend's hot. And then obviously, hopefully that doesn't bite him in the ass in the future, you know?
So is that a healthy relationship when there's at least some jealousy? Like, do you need, like, not too much, but do you want there to be like a little bit?
I think you do. I am not one to talk because my relationships don't go past like a year.
Okay. should you get more jealous?
No, honestly, that's what I've been thinking I should do because I just, it's really weird. I'm just not jealous. Like I always let things happen. And then without getting too in detail of what happens, I don't know. I think that I need to be a little more jealous. So it's something is it just like a weird thing to think about? Be like, oh, should I be more jealous? I think I should. I think good relationships probably have a little bit of jealousy, but not too much where it becomes obsessive.
Not too much. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I want to know.
You a jealous boyfriend?
I think I would be probably a little jealous, or a lot. I mean, depending on, like, I mean, I'm lucky that really Nicole never really puts me in that situation where I need to get, very, very jealous. Not so much, recently because I don't really have a lot of, interaction with other people, but, Nicole used to get more jealous, which I tried to, like, you know, there was nothing to be jealous about, but she used to more. And now I think she's gotten to the point where she pretty much doesn't care. But she used to get jealous.
Yeah, I think moving forward, I think it's just smart to be adult about it and just be like, hey, when you do that, it makes me a little jealous, or, you know, kind of trying to recognize it and talk about it. I don't know. I've been in different scenarios where either it was too much, but they never actually said it out loud. So I didn't realize I was doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Jacqueline probably didn't realize she was doing anything wrong with Alex.
Yeah, well, but John didn't get pissed off. So if he's not upset and she didn't think he was doing anything wrong and Alex didn't think he was doing anything wrong, it was really only in the eyes of like Natalie and Missy and maybe Keith that they thought, like, outside people of the love triangle thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
So
they're just hating on that love triangle.
Yeah. Natalie in particular.
Oh, yeah. She did not like it.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Natalie? Do you like the Twinnies?
I wasn't for a while, probably because it didn't really make sense to me that she was so adamant about getting Reed out and going right back to John, who had just blindsided her by getting out Jeremy. So I was just kind of confused what was going on. But now I am. Like, now I'm definitely rooting for her just because she's actually trying to make moves. She's doing stuff other than, you know, like Baylor and Missy are kind of like sitting around, and Natalie's actually like really hungry. So I really appreciate that she wants to make moves.
Now, have you ever met the Twinnies before?
I did. I met them so briefly. I was at a viewing party in the city for Josh and Reed, and they were there, but I really only got to say hi. Oh, shoot, I'm on my way out. Good job. I didn't know which one is which, so I couldn't even really do much about it. And yeah. I didn't have enough time to be like, who's who? And at that point, I hadn't even really watched all the episodes. So it was more just like a, hi, bye.
Now, as Miss Survivor, would it be advantageous to have identical twin Miss Survivors? Because, like, let's say Natalie won Miss Survivor, then we could send, like, Nadia out, like, on appearances and sort of, like, cover twice as much ground.
That's smart.
That's
because you could do an East Coast, West Coast thing. They could be everywhere. So I think that's a really smart observation.
Yeah.
To keep in mind for sure.
That would be good. Also, and also just like, you know, they used to have like, you know, Saddam Hussein would have like a number of different like stunt doubles, like in case anybody was trying to like assassinate them. It's almost like we would have a backup Miss Survivor, you know, guy, or even if she, you know, not even like talking about anything morbid, but like, let's say she, you know, got like the flu or something and Natalie couldn't go out. We would always have a backup.
You could have Nadia come out first, you know, to accept things.
And then taste the food and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, taste. Yeah, exactly. Wine and whatever. Because you don't know what people are going to try to pull.
We don't know.
Especially as Miss Survivor gets more and more popular, people get more and more jealous of the Miss Survivors. We'll just throw out Nadia and then she'll do the testing. And then if something happens, then.
Sure. Yeah. All right. But this is good.
Not saying Nadia won't beat Natalie, because maybe Nadia will win.
Yeah. Who knows? All right. So, Andrea, who's going to win Survivor San Juan del Sur?
Oh, it makes me so mad. I just feel like John's going to win.
And who do you see in the finals with him? You think it's John and Jacqueline?
Jacqueline, and then, I don't know, Missy.
John, Jacqueline, Missy.
That's kind of what I see. I just think he's in such a good spot. I mean, he has an idol. He has Jacqueline. Now he's for sure as Missy and maybe even Baylor now that Natalie did her whole thing. I just think he's in a good spot. He's also getting, if you watch the show, and he just seems like he's getting a good edit.
Yeah.
So it's almost like who else? Either John or somehow maybe Natalie. But right now it just seems like it's all pointing to John.
Yeah, we've talked about John's edit, you know, a lot this season of, you know, it was going really good. And then, like, it was going kind of bad the other night where they were showing, like, you know, him sort of like, not in the greatest light between the fighting and then between where Natalie was pulling one over on him. But then by the end, when he started getting into the stuff with his dad, then he was looking good again.
I know. Yeah, especially when they give him that. When he starts to talk about things, you're like, oh, that's right. And they kind of keep reminding you, like, oh, he's actually a human being with feelings and is going through a lot of hard stuff. And you kind of reminded that he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I mean, they could easily just make him out into just being just a douchebag. But they keep throwing those little clips and you're like, oh, that's right. So I don't know. That's why I just feel like he's in a good spot.
Okay. So John Mish could be your winner of Survivor San Juan del Sur.
I don't know. I'm not anti him. I just think I just want him out, I think. I think he's great, but I just would love to see him blindsided because right now it seems like everything's going his way.
How would you feel about a John Mish and Jacqueline Mr. and Miss Survivor? I guess that would be Mr. and Mrs. Survivor at that point.
Oh man. That would just almost seem too good to be true.
Well, that would be a big advantage. We thought maybe coming out of the first Survivor Blood versus Water, we thought that maybe there could be a, you know, his and hers that could be able to support each other. I thought maybe it might have been Kat and Hayden, where you could have had, you know, two people like running as a couple against each other. It really didn't break that way where any of the, you know, we didn't have anybody who was close to the finals that was in a couple.
Well, wait, where did Candace and John, wasn't John up there?
Well, Candace was in the mix, but John wasn't.
Oh, John wasn't close. Oh, because Candace and John would have been a couple.
Yeah, and they would have been a great Mr. and Mrs. Survivor.
Yeah, so actually, John and Jacqueline have a really good shot because they both made it really far, and they're on the second season of this year, which usually means they're going to get more votes.
Not last year.
Yeah, but I'm a special case, Rob.
Yeah. So we'll see. It really will come down to, do they want it?
Yeah, that's true.
They may not want it.
It's hard to tell who's going to be active in Survivor and podcast post their season. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
They were fans before, I think. I'm not sure. I'm not sure like how nerdy they are.
I don't think that they were.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe they won't get back to you like Brenda.
That's entirely possible. We have to brace ourselves up for that possibility. All right.
Bummer.
Are you ready to get into taking some of the questions from your listeners as Miss Survivor?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to get into the questions and the feedback from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast. I got some voicemails too along the way. But first, let me take a quick minute and thank our sponsor of this episode of Rob as a Podcast. And those are our friends over at Bombas Socks. Andrea, how important are socks to you?
I always ask for socks for Christmas.
Yes. Well, I'm a big
practical, but socks, you know, you always lose them and you need them. They're comfortable.
Yeah. What kind of socks did you have on Survivor?
I had, what did I have? I actually got to wear big, I'm not sure what brand they were, but they were like up to my knees, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's good. You want a large sock on Survivor.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, you don't want the little ones ankle that go below. Sock. You don't want the ankle ones. No, not at all.
Well, Bombas socks are the athletic leisure socks engineered to look better, feel better, and perform better, with a mission to help those in need. Andrea, socks, it turns out, are the number one most requested clothing item at homeless shelters, and Bombas was founded to address that problem by donating one pair of socks for every pair purchased. So knowing in order to donate more pairs of socks, they designed a better sock than anything else on the market. They spent 2 years on research and development to create 7 substantial updates to the standard athletic sock, including a tab to prevent blisters, an extra comfort footbed, and honeycomb arch support for the absence of toe seams.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And since October of 2013, they donated over 150,000 pairs of socks. They're great stocking stuffers this holiday season for everybody on your list with feet. Somebody said to me on Twitter the other day that socks as a stocking stuffer is like a turducken. It's like a socks inside of a giant sock.
I don't know why that was so funny. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So get 20% off your first order. Go to bombas.com/RHAP. That's bombas.com/RHAP before December 19th at noon. That's bombas.com/RHAP. All right. So get some socks and then help out homeless people get socks too. All right. So let's go ahead and start with Ari Feinberg wants to know, will any one of the players this season join the Strategic Six? All right. Andrea, can we talk about the Strategic Six?
Wait, is this the Reddit thing that that Probst did?
Yes. Yes.
I'm in the Strategic Six.
Yes. Who else is in the Strategic Six?
Oh, who was it? I don't remember. I'm not sure it was Boston Rob. I think Parvati.
Was it Rob, Parvati, Malcolm, right?
Cochran, I'm sure, right?
Yes, Rob. So it's Rob, Parvati, Malcolm, you, and Cochran. And who is the sixth member of the? Is it Russell or Sandra?
Oh man, I don't know.
Or both, Brad Culpepper.
Both great choices.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it now.
I could try to look it up. I know I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really shocking, especially since Probst never really brings me up.
Okay, here's the quote. So the question was...
already?
What's that?
You found it already?
Yeah.
Hey. Wow, you're fast.
Yeah, this is what I do. Okay, so they asked Jeff Probst, who do you think played the best strategical game of Survivor? How are you a strategical player?
So strategical?
All right. So Jeff said, there's been a lot of great strategists, and I know I'll leave someone out and that will piss them off, but I'm sitting on my couch. I kind of have to pee and I'm hungry. So this is what you get. Parvati. She's pretty sharp. That's what he says. Boston Rob. Say what you want about my bro crush. The dude is very good at strategy. All right. That's two. Cochran is good. All right. I think Andrea is very good too. Tony and Spencer are very good strategists, but they play different games. Okay. So that's okay. So we have Tony and Spencer, not Malcolm yet. And then I'm trying to think back to earlier seasons and I'm going to go blank. I think the most overrated strategist is Hatch. He hates when I say that, though. He did win and he played a good game, but he had a lot of breaks to go his way, and that covered up some poor strategic decision making. All right. So there you go. The Strategic Six is Boston Rob, Parvati, Andrea, Cochran, Tony, and Spencer.
The good Strategic Six.
Yeah. By the way, Spencer is going to be our guest on Rob as a Podcast this Thursday.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I love Spencer.
Yeah.
I met his grandparents.
You met Spencer's grandparents.
Yeah. Well, so his grandparents live in Wisconsin, and I was home, when was this? Over the summer. And so Spencer and I were talking. I was like, oh, we should meet up and grab lunch or something. And my parents really wanted to meet him. So we went on a little brunch date, and it was Spencer, me, and my parents. So Spencer's already met the parents. And then we were going to drop him off, and we dropped him off at his grandparents' house. And then, of course, my dad started talking to his grandpa, and then we were there for an hour or something.
Oh, my God.
And his grandpa was showing my dad their birdhouses, because apparently they have, I don't know, the most birdhouses in some, I don't know, I forgot what it was. There was some bragging right having to do with birdhouses. That's all I remember.
Just two people from the Strategic Six hanging out.
I'm more strategical than looks like Russell and Sandra.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How'd I pull that off? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, again, you are, what was it? I want to find the right quote. He said you were good.
Good.
Yeah. Let me just, yeah. I think Andrea's very good too. She's very good.
Very good. Good. I'll take it.
Andrea's
thank you.
Very good
thank
too.
You, Jeff.
All right. So don't dodge the question. Who from this season has a chance to join the Strategic Six?
Okay. Well, a lot's going to depend on the next couple episodes and if Natalie can pull it around. Oh, man. I don't know. I guess right now, maybe either John or Natalie.
Either John or Natalie. What
because
about...
Natalie, cause if, okay, if Natalie could pull something here, if she gets back in with John and Jacqueline and is like, I screwed up, oh, I'm so dumb, blah, 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 and Baylor keeps her mouth shut, she could end up maybe pulling a blindside. I mean, it would be awesome if, let's say, Keith and John, let's say Natalie wins immunity next, and then they're like, okay, let's all vote out Keith, and then she pulls something together, and they vote out John, and he goes home with an idol. That would be sweet. Then Natalie deserves to be in the Strategic Six.
Okay. It's tough to get in the Strategic Six.
Oh, it's I worked so hard for it.
Should be tough to get in the Strategic Six.
Yeah, it should be very difficult. Yeah, not just anyone. Hey, not just anyone gets in the Strategic Six.
Okay. Let's take a question from Doug Marshall, who wants to know, who has acted like the biggest brat on Survivor out of Brenda and Baylor?
I haven't really... What has Baylor done that was that bratty? I guess we didn't really see.
Yeah, it's hard to see. She doesn't do a lot about around camp. And I think that Missy fights her battles a lot. But I have to say, we haven't seen her do anything particularly bratty. The only thing I could think of that she said that was kind of bratty was when she got into the fight with Reed. And she said this to Reed.
That's my kid.
Girl, I know it's your kid.
It's my girl. She's a mom.
Yeah, that's not... She's not a girl. She's a mom.
So what does she want? What does she want Reed to say?
He's got
to
call her mom.
Like, mom, I would be flattered because I think what Missy is 47. I'd be flattered if someone was calling me girl.
Yeah.
You know, be like, yeah, it was so, she took that so seriously.
How about this? Was this bratty when she said this to her mom?
Shut your mouth, homie G.
Shut your mouth, homie G. Is that bratty?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not seeing any really bratty behavior.
Well, why is Doug Marshall saying Brenda is a brat? Because she made Dawn take her teeth out?
Probably. That was a little bratty. I think Brenda might be a little brattier than Baylor.
Okay, so you say Brenda brattier than Baylor.
In the game, for sure.
Okay, but still not that bratty in the scheme of things. Just
still not that bratty. Still not that bratty. but side note, Baylor, I didn't realize she's a little country music artist.
Yes. What do you have you listened to her song?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the song.
What? Oh, how dare you, Andrea?
No. But okay, hear me out. I think that she has potential, though. She has a great voice. She's a great voice, a great look. Maybe she'll be the next Chase Rice out of the whole Survivor.
Let's get weird.
The only reason I wasn't crazy about the song is just because right now I'm not really in a country thing. And some of the lyrics, you know, was like, my Dairy Queen is melting and getting everywhere.
Andrea, why do you have a problem with these lyrics? Feels like I stepped in gum, got honey in my hair. My Dairy Queen, is melting. Yeah, it gets everywhere.
My Dairy Queen is melting.
I think that's great.
Okay, to each their own. But that being said, when I watched the video first, I didn't even know she sang. And I was actually genuinely, like, I was impressed. I was like, okay, cool. Like, girl, she's got a voice. She has clearly did this whole music video. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
I was just not like crazy. I wasn't crazy about the lyrics, but with country music, you can get away with a lot of that stuff.
Who would win in a dance off or rap off or sing off, you or Baylor? Remember, you won Miss Survivor on the strength of your rap campaign song.
Yeah, I think that she would win if we did karaoke, which I love to karaoke. I think she would win. I think she probably has a better voice, but I think I would win in the rap department.
Shut your mouth, homie G.
Baylor knows slang like homie G. Do you have street cred like that?
People do call me Dre.
Dre. So. Okay. All right.
Yeah. She could sing and then I'll do the rap portion. I think that would work.
Maybe that might be a good way to do it of those two songs. Maybe if you can come up with something where there's like a rap part and then like a lyric part.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about karaoke, now, did you recently do karaoke with Spencer also?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
How did that go?
I've also done karaoke with Malcolm. I don't know why it's my thing.
All right. Ding, marry, kill at karaoke. All right. Karaoke only, ding, marry, kill. This is Spencer, Malcolm, and Eric Stein.
Oh, okay. So I would marry Eric Stein because he's really good.
Okay.
He has a musical theater background. He actually is a really good.
I did not know this.
Isn't that just funny? He used to do musicals. There's a lot you don't know about Eric Stein.
Yeah, I know.
So Eric, I've actually gone karaoke with him quite a bit. And he's really good. So I would marry him because we could do a bunch of duets.
Could he be in the Broadway Alliance with Reed and Frankie Grande?
He could.
Yeah.
He could. Even though, you know what? Eric Stein disappears for a while. We've been friends for a bit.
All of a sudden,
I'll try to text him about stuff, even work-related stuff, because we've done some production things together.
Yeah.
And I won't hear from him for months. And then he'll make a statement on Facebook being like, I'm coming out of my shell.
Yeah.
2015 is going to be a new year. And then he's like, maybe this is just one of my bipolar rants. And then like he'll go away for a while. So I don't know, but I'd still marry him.
Yeah. He's like the Facebook groundhog, Eric Stein. Yeah. Sometimes, Eric Stein saw his shadow. You won't see him on Facebook for 6 more weeks. But then...
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Ding Spencer, he was decent. Spencer was good. And then I would have to kill Malcolm just because Malcolm's not he's not very good at karaoke. But he still puts in the attempt and he was fun. But yeah, he's probably on the bottom of the list.
What song did Malcolm sing?
Oh man, I actually can't remember. I mean, also remember this was at 4 a.m.
Okay.
It was a really late night. I can't remember. I know that Malcolm was really surprised because I had Eric Stein with me. No, not Eric Stein. That night that Malcolm came, we did karaoke. I had two of my Broadway friends. And so he was like, what is this? Because then my Broadway friends like whipped out these like awesome songs and all these craziness. And he was a little overwhelmed.
Okay. So what did Spencer sing?
We rented out a room. And so I think,
rented a room.
Yeah, you
Did
can
you
rent
karaoke.
You can rent karaoke rooms for a few hours. And
this is in Manhattan or when you were in Wisconsin?
This was when we were in Manhattan. Yeah. And we came to New York.
Look at you guys.
No, it's really fun. You can rent a room for a few hours and you get drinks in your room and you just sing. Just sing your little hearts out.
How many people went in on this?
Let's see. Spencer had a friend. Eric was there. And I think, was there one other person? So maybe there's 5 of us.
Oh my God.
Fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to go sometime next time you're here.
Yeah, I'm blown away. I'm blown away on the private karaoke room.
Maybe when you come for Know It Alls Live in March.
Yes, yes.
You, me, Stephen Fishback. maybe we'll get Franny or something, or Eliza.
Yeah. Wow. Would you go? Okay. So if you went and did karaoke with Baylor, then who would be better at karaoke, Baylor or Ariana Grande?
I mean, it's a tough one there.
Do you think?
Depends. I don't know. I've never heard Ariana sing country. So maybe she's not good at country. She's just really good at everything else.
Do you think that we will see a collab one day between Baylor and Ariana Grande?
Oh, I hope so.
Yes.
I met Ariana. Situation.
Yes. Okay. So you met Ariana Grande.
Yeah, it was just at a party. A party at Frankie's.
And how is that? Good?
Good. She's little. She's so little.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another question here. Okay, Renee Lucas, this is a big question for you, Andrea. Do you endorse anybody for the upcoming Miss and Mr. Survivor? Are you willing to go down that path?
I can't choose yet.
Okay.
But I mean, as Miss Survivor right now, I probably shouldn't endorse anybody. But I want to see, first of all, when we start getting going on it, who's active and who's campaigning, and then maybe I will endorse somebody.
What do you want to see from people? Because I know that there's a lot of people that say, like, oh, we didn't see that much from Andrea this year. Where is Malcolm? Malcolm promised that he was going to take pictures with the Mr. Survivor belt everywhere. He didn't do that. We haven't seen Malcolm too much. What should people be looking for to hear from Miss and Mr. Survivor?
Yeah, it's tricky. See, I actually do feel bad because I really did want to do something, either a roast out here or come to the know-it-alls when you came out here.
But I blame myself with you that we haven't seen more of you, because that I feel like that you're willing to do just about anything with the podcast, and I've done a bad job of coming up with ways to use you. Like, you don't really have your own jurisdiction to be able to just be like going out on your own and doing, you know, Miss Survivor things for the podcast. And I've done a bad job of utilizing you where you've been very willing and available.
Well, thank you. Good. That's what I want the viewers to hear, because I did feel a little bad that people were saying I haven't done anything. I've been here. I've been, you know, I think we kept missing each other because there was opportunities, but then we kept trading coasts. So
yeah.
I wasn't able to really do that. So I would think that for 2015 Miss Survivor, yeah, I guess, you know, be active. And obviously, if they have a chance that they can be involved in as many podcasts or an event,
yes,
if it's possible. Like, I really planned on it this year. And then I actually, like, a year went by. That's crazy. Like,
the year goes by fast.
It's insane. I'm like, a year went by? It's nuts. So I really did have more plans that I wanted to do. It just didn't really happen. But I mean, I'm doing this and I did some pictures. I did a lot of groundwork on the Wine and Cheese Club Alliance.
Yes, you did.
And I won Survivor Brooklyn and played Big Brother Brooklyn. And I've been playing online Survivor games and I won a game.
You're playing ORGs?
Yes.
I didn't strike.
And I won one. My first one ever. I'm pretty sure I was playing against mostly middle schoolers.
So you could beat middle schoolers and Survivor Brooklyn people.
Yes, I am just killing it. So
you're on fire.
I let it be known that I was the Survivor. So I'm trying to get the word out there. So I did what I could.
Was there any tension this year when you ran into RC as the outgoing Miss Survivor?
No. I think she was a little, it was, you know, it was a weird, she had a weird reign because she never even really came onto a podcast. So yeah, maybe there was a little tension.
Do you plan on being heavily involved with the crowning of Miss Survivor 2015?
I would love to. If you will have me, I will help out in any way.
Yes.
Just because I want to make up for not doing as much as I really wanted to at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love to. And I really hope people are creative. I thought last year was super fun. It was really fun to compete against Candace and Sierra. So I think people should definitely just bring it, especially for the competition part. Why not?
Yeah. My advice, I think, to the Miss and Mr. Survivor hopefuls for 2015 is like, I would say let's try to like scale down the campaign promises of like, let's go for like less home runs and more singles of like, you know, I want to do a podcast about this subject, or I'm going to podcast about this subject, or I'm going to, you know, I want to interview this person for, you know, like, let's just keep it more like in the content creation area, as opposed to at less lofty goals of like, I'm going to reform, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's keep it simple.
I think that's a good idea. I think that people get really ambitious.
Yeah.
And you forget how busy you just are.
Yeah.
And that, like, planning, even for me, I thought it was going to be so easy and doable to do, like, oh, we'll just plan an East Coast roast. No big deal. But I wasn't just making that up. Like, I was serious.
No. And you know what? That still may happen. I don't know if it will happen during, I know it will not happen during your tenure as Miss Survivor, but you did lay down the groundwork for that idea. And at some point it could happen.
Yeah. So, and if you still have me, even though I'll be a former at that point, I would love to be there.
Yes, of course.
Definitely,
of course.
definitely really think about what you're actually able to do and where you're located in the United States and if it's possible. But even just if you do a couple podcasts and you are appreciative and nice to your fans, I mean, that's really what a Miss Survivor needs to do.
Yes. Here's a question from Kaz Kozdrowski. Do you have a date to the live know-it-alls show yet? Asking for a friend.
Well, it depends who the friend is. I don't yet.
Okay. I think it's his friend, Daz Dozdrowski.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I'll be here. I'm planning a trip to Ireland.
What?
I know. I'm absolutely ridiculous. Because I want to go to Ireland for St. Paddy's Day. But I think the live know-it-alls is what, the 13th?
The 11th.
Oh, it's the 11th of March. Okay, great. So,
yes.
Oh, someone told me it was not the 11th. I'm going to actually write that in my calendar right now.
Yeah, it's March 11th.
I do not have a date.
I have a wedding I have a wedding on Long Island on the 13th. I have my cousin is actually getting married on Friday the 13th.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
Not a good idea.
Well, I think that's a day that it's a good, that you can get a good deal on a wedding, I think, that day.
I would think so.
If it doesn't bother you, then it's a great time to have a wedding because there's not a lot of other people fighting for that date.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them.
Yeah. So they're getting married on Friday the 13th. So I'm coming into New York. And so Friday 11th, by the way, at last I heard on Friday, there was still about 40 seats available for the show. So over 250 tickets have been sold so far for that. And it's still, So it's going to be,
that's a big deal.
It's going to be a huge night. Like, cause I was like saying that, you know, there was 160 people at my wedding. So this is going to be like almost twice that in the room for the live know-it-alls on March 11th.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want to get, if you're on the fence, like don't wait around on that. It's robinsonwebsite.com/KIA live for tickets for the March 11th show in New York.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. I didn't realize it was going to be so big. Yeah. So I just wrote it on my calendar. I will be here.
Yeah. Great.
And I will probably still be single in March. So
now you can't say that. Now, yeah, well, when you're out there reporting on New Year's Eve again, you won't find somebody for when the ball drops.
There's a good chance. Well, the problem is, so if it's anything like last year, I interview a bunch of people and then we actually go up where the ball is, like the actual New Year's Eve ball. So during the countdown, we're in a little hallway with a bunch of PAs. So it's really, there's no one to kiss really. So I'm not going to find someone for the ball drop.
But it's only this first weekend in December.
Yeah, but I'm not, I don't know. I think I'm going to be single in March.
Okay. All right. But that's
but kind of my choice. So I could use a date to the know-it-alls though.
Okay. We'll see. I have a feeling that you'll probably be in a relationship and single. It's probably twice by then. You might be single again, but I don't think it'll be a straight line.
Man, why do you think that? I am a relationship person, so it's actually pretty likely that I'm in a relationship by then.
Yeah, I mean, you're out there. You're in the mix. You're an eligible bachelorette in New York City. I mean, I think it's almost the odds are against the fact that you'll be that, you know, you would be single for 4 straight months.
Yeah, but I see. But my thing is I want to be single.
You want to be single?
Not, yeah.
Why?
Because I was on in 2 back-to-back relationships. So now I'm finally like, oh, sweet. I can focus on myself and my career and not really have to worry about bringing someone else into the mix, you know?
Right, right.
So it's actually kind of by choice that I'm single.
Okay. All right. You ready to take a voicemail?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Let's start with a voicemail from Andy.
Hey, Rob and Andrea, this is Andy from Wisconsin. First off, Andrea, next time you're home, would you maybe go out with me? Just wondering about that. So, anyway, since your Miss Survivor reign is ending soon, I'm wondering, could you run again, maybe? Because I really like you in that role. That's all I'd like to know. Thank you, and have a good day.
All right. Will you run again? Are you considering running for a second straight term of Miss Survivor?
I don't think I'm able to. It's very flattering.
And we'd have to change the rules. We'd have to take a vote and change the rules on it.
I'm pretty sure it's not allowed. Can I run again? No, I'm good.
We would need to take a vote. I'm not against it, but I would like the overwhelming voice of the people needs to speak out of that for Andrea to be able to be to change the rules. Like when Bloomberg was, you know, changed the rules so he could be mayor for longer. You know, that's the kind of thing that we would need.
Yeah, but then I don't know, because then is Parvati and RC eligible? Then it's kind of
would be a slippery slope.
Yeah, I would. But thank you for those kind words, Andy.
Yes.
And he's from Wisconsin, which is cool. That's where I'm from.
Okay. So, again, here's another person throwing themselves. Now, is the reason why you want to be single because there are so many people that are saying, like, Andrea, go on a date with me?
No. It's not a reason I want to be single.
Yeah, because it's like everybody, it's like, here, do this, do this, do this. And then it's like, no, I don't want, now everybody wants me to do this. Now I don't want to do it.
No, I know. It's true.
Okay.
I'm against it now. I'm against dating.
Okay. All right. So maybe a guy needs to come along and say, Andrea, do not go on a date with me. I don't want to go on a date with you no matter what. And then you'd be like, this guy is interesting.
Like falling for him. Yeah. But isn't that how it's always been? It's always you want what you can't have.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of that, how about Gavin Costello wants to know, what would you do if Alec was flirting with you?
Well, depends on where we are.
Which Christy bro would be more your type, Drew or Alec?
Well, Drew's my age, right?
I'm not sure the ages of the Christy bros.
I think Drew's 24, 25, and I think Alec's 20. Well, I didn't really get to know Drew that much, but I think I would actually maybe like Alec a little more.
Yeah.
He just seems a little less ego. He seems funny. I actually watched him on the Survivor Live with Jeff.
Big Jeff.
Yeah, and he actually was pretty charming there. Just kind of funny, and definitely came off better than how it comes off on the show.
How do you think Big Jeff has done as host of Survivor Live?
I really only watched that one, and I think one other one. He's fine. I was a little upset that it didn't go to an ex-Survivor.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, whatever. Like, he's Big Brother, and he gets to host Big Brother things. Why not let someone that has actually played Survivor host the Survivor After Show?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What? Right? Am I not alone in that? I mean, I have no problem with him. I just think that it's always been an ex-Survivor. It was Parvati, and before that it was Bill.
Bill Posley. The Bill Posley era. Yeah.
So give it to someone else, whoever's in LA, and I'm sure they would be just, you know, fine.
Do you think they should let a Survivor host the Big Brother After Show this summer?
That's what should happen, so they know how we feel. Because you know that the Big Brother fans would be pissed.
Oh, yeah. They would burn CBS to the ground.
They would be livid. And I think most of the Survivor fans are like, whatever, I guess we're okay with it.
Speaking of the Big Brother fans, and I saw on Instagram also you hung out with Zach also from Big Brother.
Yeah. Well, I met Zach and Cody and all the, like, that season.
How were all those guys?
They were fun. Zach is insane. I always thought he was older. He's only 24, but he's just crazy.
Yeah, why? Crazy how? What is he doing?
So this is what was really mind-blowing. I met Zach and Cody and Derek. So actually, I went to Frankie Grande's opening of Rock of Ages, which was great, on Broadway. And there was all the Big Brother people. So Cody was there. Zach, Derek, Pow Pow. I think that was all. There might have been one more. And it was the whole audience was full of Big Brother fans. So every time Frankie came on stage, everyone was just cheering. People were giving him standing ovations just in the middle of the show, which to me is like, oh my gosh, like we're trying to watch theater. And it was just so totally bombarded by Big Brother fans. And
it's too much.
It was too much. And definitely it's going to die down. Like, you know, I'm sure Frankie's always going to have fans there. But the first night it was crazy. And so we were getting, when we left, there were fans like trampling over, not trampling, like literally trampling, but kind of like pushing some of the actual actors out of the way so they could talk to Pow Pow or any of the other
talk
Big
Brother. Pow Pow?
No, I mean, they were obviously trying to get to Cody and to Frankie and everything. But at one point, I saw a girl and her mom kind of push one of the lead actors of the Broadway show out of the way so they could get Pow Pow's signature.
What?
And I was shocked.
I'm shocked too.
And the guy, the lead actor of Rock of Ages, was like, you know, like, oh yeah, no problem. Like, kind of like stepped over one of the seats and like had to move out of the way. And I just looked at him like, oh my gosh, this is. I was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
For reality television.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was fun, and then we went to a little after party. But what was really crazy is they really were getting just attacked, and Zach had a bodyguard, which I thought
a bodyguard
was a little excessive. I mean,
was it just like his friend?
I don't know, but that he had like a big bodyguard with him, and people were saying like, "Yeah, Zach has a bodyguard," which was so weird.
Well, what
I'm
are
like,
people trying to do? People are trying to like hurt Zach.
Well, that's the thing. Like, no one's trying to hurt him, and you're not that cool. Like, I understand that Frankie and his mom had someone there, which I get because people were crowding. But like, you're just a big brother person.
So Frankie has his own bodyguard, and Zach has his own bodyguard.
No, I don't know if Frankie had a bodyguard. There was a guy that was making sure people weren't coming up to the people, the Big Brother contestants that were watching in the front row, which made sense because it seemed like everyone in that audience was there.
Yeah.
They knew Big Brother people were going to be there. So that I understood. I don't think it's a personal bodyguard.
Yeah.
But what I had heard and what I think was actually true is that Zach did have someone like a bodyguard. And it was just like so weird to me because the thing about reality television and yeah, some people stay kind of famous and known, but Big Brother people, especially these people, unless they play again in like a year or two, it's like no one cares.
How dare you, Andrea?
No, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Pow pow, people are trampling each other to talk to her.
No, you know what I mean, though? I just thought it was
I hear you.
Crazy that you have a bodyguard when it's just like you, I don't know. It was crazy.
So just going back to the being in the show or at the show. So, I mean, you've done theater before. I mean, if you were one of the people that was in the show, do you think that they get pissed off at Frankie Grande because he's bringing the spectacle to the show, or are they just happy like, hey, like this is great. Look, sold out theater for opening night.
It's tricky because I totally see both sides. I did theater before I ever thought of going on Survivor. So I'm always fighting that stigma. Like even when I have auditions for TV stuff, and I actually just did a couple lines on Blue Bloods recently that'll be coming out in January. I'll keep you posted. It's only like two lines, but it was actually, you know, I still had to go through the entire audition process and the whole thing. But I'm always fighting the stigma of being a reality person because, you know, we get a bad rap if reality people try to act or try to do anything in entertainment beyond the show. So I understand, you know, that people would look at him and kind of be like, oh, cool, this guy's just walking on because he has a bunch of fans and he's also Ariana's brother. But Frankie is a talented actor and singer. So
yeah.
He actually, if he wasn't even on Big Brother, there's a chance that he would have gotten it anyway. Like he's been in callbacks for many Broadway shows. He's been on Broadway before. So it's kind of a mix. I think, you know, if he's talented and he's great in the part. So I think if the other actors realize that, which I'm sure they do, it's probably fine. I just think the opening night was a little much. It was pretty crazy.
So are Josh and Reed, they're doing like their own show also coming up soon, right?
They're doing a performance at 54 Below, which a bunch of the Wine and Cheese crew are going to go to.
And what are they going to do in the show?
I'm assuming, because I've been to those type of shows before, they're just kind of, I believe they're just kind of cabarets or they sing a bunch of songs. And I think they're just going to sing some of their Broadway numbers.
Have they consulted with Eric Stein before this?
Yeah. I think they should, but we try to get a hold of Eric Stein for consulting and he's always hiding under his rock.
Okay, so will Frankie Grande attend the Josh and Reed cabaret?
I don't know. Maybe. Frankie's busy. It's actually, yeah, even Frankie doesn't get back to me really.
Oh my God.
I know. All this craziness.
So many questions. What did you think of when he wore the body paint shirt recently?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, good for him. He's in really good shape, clearly, and he does his whole Topless Tuesday thing or whatever. So I think it was a cool thing that I've never seen done before, right? Have you ever seen anyone wear a body paint shirt to an awards night?
I will say this about Frankie Grande.
You're not a fan.
I get a little bit like I feel like it's just the you know, a little too much of the look at me. But that being said, and again, somewhat hypocritical from a guy who hosts Rob as a podcast, but I'm more listen to me, not look at me. But I feel like the guy has like got it down to a science, the way to get attention for himself. He's extremely gifted at that. And the body paint thing was a stroke of genius on that level.
Yes. And I also am somebody that I like everybody. I'm never really, I don't know. I don't get mad at people and I don't hate people for certain things. So I like him. There's a couple things, you know, it's not my style. And that's why, not that I'm ever, I don't really have any desire to be super famous like that. If I was though, that's kind of what you have to do. And if you're smart, you got to pull like ridiculous stunts because you want to stay relevant. Everyone's doing ridiculous things. So for him to do that was like, okay, that's a thing that's going to get you noticed. And he knows what he's doing in terms of getting attention like that. It's such a crazy world to me. It really is.
It's a crazy world. Okay. Let's take another voicemail.
Do you have to wear a body paint shirt?
Oh, I would not. And nobody would want me to.
Maybe that's why you're zero earbuds.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm zero.
I'm going to give body this show shirt. Zero earbuds.
That would be zero eyeglasses also.
No eyeglasses.
Yeah. I know you told me you listened to the Tyson podcast the other day, right?
All 4 hours of it.
Oh, what's my God. Up with me? God bless you. God bless you.
But it's weird because Tyson is so just fun to listen to. I mean, you're fun to listen to, but it's crazy. 4 hours. And I was like, oh, that was 4 hours. Okay.
Yeah. Tyson is great. Tyson is a great conversationalist. You know, speaking of the Zero Earbuds podcast, did you feel like I was too hard on the pod on pod hosts who reviewed, for if you didn't listen to that podcast, reviewed Rob as a podcast recently? There was some mixed reviews. One of the hosts, I believe the two hosts, he said that it was a good podcast if he liked reality TV, but he doesn't. And then the other host said it was kind of without merit.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they're not Survivor fans. So clearly, he's going to have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think you were too hard on them. I think that...
I tried not to be hard at them.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of them, but obviously because they were trash-talking your podcast.
Yeah, and I feel bad because I feel like the people have been very, very hard on them, and that was not my intention.
Oh, are they getting haters?
I think so. I think they're getting a little. They're definitely getting some blowback, and that was not my intention. I'm just, you know, I'm the Rob that sucks. If I get negative criticism, like I tend to talk about it.
I mean, I thought it was really funny that you even brought it up because I thought you were gonna talk about this podcast, reviewed you, and how you got rave reviews.
Yes, right.
And everything was pretty much negative.
Well, there were some parts that were not as negative, but those weren't as funny to play.
Yeah, well, that's why I think you can't really take it too personally because they don't watch these shows. So if I listened to a podcast about something I had no idea about and didn't even like, I would probably hate the podcast. Like, there's no way he would love your podcast when he hates reality television.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a tough game to get into, the reviewing the podcast. I think if you're reviewing a podcast, it's like you can judge, A, does it sound good? Like, is this a show I would want to listen to as far as the sound of the show? And then two, how enthusiastic and or knowledgeable is the host? And you can sort of tell that pretty much, whether or not you're an expert. It's like, oh, this guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about, or this guy doesn't sound like he knows what he's talking about. Why does he have a podcast?
Do you think people are really going to like to listen to this to podcasts about podcasts? I don't know.
I feel like if I was going to do a show that was reviewing podcasts, I think you'd have to do it sort of more like a travel show of like, hey, like, here's a new podcast maybe you want to check out if you're a fan of blah blah blah. Here's this show that's like hosted by this person. It sounds good, the host sounds knowledgeable, and really it's got to be like more of a brochure, I feel like, than
I was gonna say maybe like a list.
Yeah. You know?
The list with a little blurb, I think.
Or maybe you could do it like within a genre. Like if, let's say, like, hey, this is the podcast where we talk about all the wrestling podcasts. And today we're going to do a review of, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. We're big wrestling fans and we'll talk about this. You know, I think you could do it within a genre, but I think to bounce around genres, I think that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but good for them. I haven't heard of reviewing podcasts before, so maybe they'll take off.
Maybe. Okay.
Josh and what's the other guy's name?
Josh and Joel. Josh and Joel. Yeah.
Who was the one that didn't like you, Josh?
I believe it was Joel.
Oh, Joel.
Yes, I think
I look at their pictures. It sounds like Joel's voice almost sounded like how Josh would look.
You matched up their voices?
I matched wrong.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's tricky.
They're both married. Okay. I got to stop. I got to get off their site. No.
All right. Here's a question from Gregory Contreras for Andrea.
Hey, Rob and Andrew. I hope you guys are doing well. So my question is, on a second look, was keeping Keith around actually a great move for Natalie? She guarantees herself two more tribals with having Keith as a threat around, unlike Alec. And she also still has her immunity idol. And what about the idea that she might have secured two more jury votes by keeping Keith around and by proxy having Wes's vote? Tell me what you guys think.
All right. So do you think that there might be some underlying genius to keeping Keith around?
I think it's possible. I think this next episode is obviously going to be very telling because I forget she has an idol and they know she has an idol. So they may not want to vote for her if everyone turns against Natalie and Keith. They may not want to vote for her, so they're maybe going to vote for Keith. So she still even has a play there where she could almost blindside them that way by using her idol. I think everyone's putting a lot of emphasis on Keith being this powerhouse challenge winner. So if he goes on an immunity run and she can use that to her advantage, then maybe it was brilliant. But I just don't know if that's really the case.
The way I see it is that I felt like she was in a very good spot where they were going to vote out Alec and then they were going to vote out Keith and then it was going to be the final five. And then when they got to the final five, then she was with Missy and Baylor. You vote out John, you vote out Jacqueline, and then that's the final three.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is I think she was.
And she had an idol.
And everyone was pretty much, the most part, trusting her.
And everybody loved her. And she was a big threat to win the jury vote. She had John and Jacqueline eating out of the palm of her hand and Missy and Baylor. And, you know, a bunch of the guys liked her and Jeremy liked her, who was on the jury. So she had a lot of things going her way. And now she has to, breaks have to go her way. Now it's like, okay, well, now she's got to play her idol. And now she's got to get Keith on her side and then vote, hope that Missy and Baylor go with her instead of John and Jacqueline, where she didn't have to hope for anything before. She had a clear path and now it's a murky path.
I 100% agree with you.
100%!
100%!
Okay, here's another question for Andrea. This one is from Charlie Jenkins, who said, Rob said in a recent podcast that he does not think he would do well if he played Survivor again at this point. Do you feel like you would do well if you played a third time, Andrea? Who would go further in our third time, me or you?
I don't think I would do well. That's why I'm very reluctant to even consider playing again.
Yeah.
Well, it would depend. Okay, so the only way that we would probably be on some sort of season together is if it was, I don't know, like all-star, we're going back and we're going to pick out random people that were...
Random people?
Okay, not random people. But it would have to be something, and I don't even consider myself in that category. Well, I mean, Jeff Probst does, but I don't even consider
myself... You're in the Strategic Six!
Okay, so let's say they're going to go back to the Parvatys, the Russells. Now, I don't know if they would do this, like some sort of, Heroes or Villains 2 or something. It would be possible that they would ask you and I on the same season.
Yes, it's in the realm of possibility.
It is. It's not impossible. Let's say that.
It's not impossible.
So who would go farther between us?
Yeah.
It's tricky because if you have the big powerhouse players back, I think they're going to be bigger targets than we would be. Like, I think Parvati and Russell and Rob and Sandra, I think they have targets on their back off the bat more than we do. So then maybe I could see myself going kind of far.
See, I think that we're both in the same boat in that I feel like people are going to look at both of us and say, but I don't know, can I really trust them?
Yeah, we're not very trusted. That's why I think if I would play again ever, I'm already just kind of thinking I'm not going to go far.
Yeah. And I feel like that I think you'll go further because I think that, I feel like people are going to say, well, I don't know. Can we trust him? And also he's kind of sucks in challenges. And where they feel like, all right, at least Andrea, let's keep her around for a while because she's pulling her weight in the challenges.
Yeah, and a lot of it does come down to who would be out there with us and if we're friends in real life.
Yeah.
Like if I played with Cochran and, I don't know, some other people I'm actually good friends with, I think they would hopefully keep me past, you know, a few votes.
What about, okay, so it's me, you, and Boston Rob are on the same tribe. Are you going to work with Boston Rob again?
I would rather work with you, but I don't know if I could trust you, and I don't know if you could trust me. That's the thing.
What about, can we trust Boston Rob?
No.
I feel like I would trust Rob. And here's why. Because I feel like there'd be so many other people that wouldn't trust him. Like, he's got to work with somebody, right?
But you would have to just suck up to him. And that just wouldn't even be fun. See, my problem is if I would ever play with Rob again, I would immediately just want to get him out because I don't want to be associated with doing the same thing again.
But see, I would go to him and say, look, Rob, every other person here is trying to get you out. I'm the only person that's on your side. You're
going
to work with me.
Is that how you want to go down in history? Then you really are the Rob that sucks because you're just sucking up to him.
And I'll go to the end with Boston Rob and say, look, are you going to let Boston Rob win again?
I don't know. I mean, then you probably will go farther than me. I also think, too, if I ever get an idol, I'm just going to have to play it right away.
Play it right away, yeah.
Immediately. Like, I'm just going to have to be like, I'm playing at the next vote. I'm just going to have to, because if I would go home with two idols, it would just be bad.
Yeah, yeah. So at least you'd rather play idols when you're not supposed to play them than go home with them.
Yes.
Again. Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. Either of us have hope for season three.
But you don't want to play again for a third time.
Well, it's tricky because, yeah, right now I'm not thinking about Survivor. I'm not thinking like, oh, man. I'm also not a person that I don't look back and like I don't have this weird grudge. I'm like, I have to prove myself that I can win. Like, that's not really me. I'm kind of like, oh, it was really fun and sucked. I went out how yeah. I did. But I'm not sitting here like dying to play again.
You were a good sport.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's like so happy I've done it. It's so great. The problem is when they call you, it's so hard because, you know, I'm like, am I doing something that much cooler? No. Can I get money so I can afford New York? Yes. You know?
Yeah.
So it's always tricky when they call. And of course, if I would play again, I'd be like all about it and really try. It's just, I don't want to think about it until I maybe get that call.
Yeah. And do they have to talk you into it at all when they call the second time? Do they have to talk you into it at all, or they were like called and you were like, all right, when do I leave?
They called and I think I was just like, yeah. Well, because originally they were going to have me play right after my first season, which I'm so glad they didn't because I wouldn't have been ready. And at that time, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to play. I was a little more leery about it. And then when they called about Fans vs. Favorites, I was like, okay, I kind of expected that I would at least play another time. I kind of figured that it was very possible. So I was like, okay, sure. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it. But if they would call me again, I honestly would try to have to, I don't know. It'd be a hard decision. It would. Because as you know, it like it messes with you a little bit.
Like physically or mentally?
Both. Because it takes you out of your real life where you've been just kind of content, like everything's fine and you're stable, and it throws you into this crazy world. And then all of a sudden you're all over the place and you have to kind of settle down from it.
Yeah, you got to settle down. All right. Let me take another voicemail. We've gone so far into this. We're approaching Tyson territory.
Oh, Andrea. No. I don't know about that.
You said you didn't think we'd have anything to talk about.
Well, yeah, because then it was like an extra podcast. So I
know, but no. We never run out of things to talk about.
I know. You're like me, though. I love to talk.
Yes.
So don't even get me started.
All right. So here's somebody, Andrea. Now, I want to just get your consent before I play this. I have a call from somebody who we've jokingly called your quote-unquote stalker before.
Oh,
but
no.
I just want to get your consent here because you know who we're talking about, right?
Is he from Canada?
Yes.
Okay, I have a good idea. Well, I have two Canadian stalkers.
But do you feel like you're in any danger?
No, I think I know who you're talking about.
It's safe to play this message. And if it's not safe, tell me now and I'll edit this part out of the show and we'll have no record whatsoever that this conversation took place. So if you were in danger, then you wouldn't want the person who you were in danger from to hear this conversation. But I will delete it and they'll never hear it. So tell me if you don't want me to play this.
I feel safe. I feel very safe.
I have your 100% consent.
100% consent.
Yes. Okay. That's how you do it. All right. So here is from Jean Thomas.
Hi, it's Jean Thomas, the French-Canadian stalker of Andrea Belki. I was wondering if Andrea would accept if I would join her in Random Lake for Christmas this year. I want to participate in the gift exchange with her family, and I want to bring my own set of rules for the gift exchange, and I wonder if she would accept my rules. There are only two rules. One, $60,000 limit for the gift, and if your mom or your dad draws me in the gifts exchange, they have to buy me a Volvo. Is it possible? Please, I'd like to know. Thank you.
All right. So, Jean Thomas, am I saying that the correct French way?
I think, yeah, Jean Thomas.
Jean Thomas?
Wants to talk to Andrea.
Yes. And so, wants to participate in the gift exchange with you and your family. Are you, number one, are you open to this?
That, yeah, see, that was actually not as creepy as I thought it would be.
No, see, that wasn't even that creepy.
No, because usually the history.
What was
of,
creepier, Jean Thomas or my laugh?
I mean, your laugh, yeah, I think you're going to, what is it? What do you say? You're going to eat him or something?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that your laugh is creepier.
That is a creepy laugh?
Well, because, okay, so the history of Jean Thomas.
Here's the only thing that I don't like. His laugh makes my blood boil.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
It sounds both at the same time. It sounds creepy and fake.
Creepy and fake. All right. So, all right.
Creepy and fake. That's not good.
All right. Back to Jean Thomas. Okay. So tell me about the idea of having him come and celebrate Christmas with you and your family.
I mean, it would be a little uncomfortable. Also, I think I don't think my family has that much money to spend.
Okay.
What was he saying? How
$60,000 limit.
Oh, I mean, yeah, not on Christmas presents. We're pretty basic. We're like socks people.
Ah, check out Bombas. Bombas.com/RHAP.
I was just trying to bring it back there. Trying to help you out.
Yeah, 20% off.
We actually are sock people. Like, I think I've gotten my dad socks every year. And I think he just forgets that I get him socks. And he's like, oh, I needed these. He gets really excited. Socks and flashlights is kind of our thing for my dad.
Socks and flashlights.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a thing. I was going to say that was actually pretty tame of Jean Thomas. The history with him is that he started making these YouTube videos of like poems to me. You can look them up on YouTube. They're like poems. And then he had my picture cut out and put on a stick.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like really creepy. And then I realized he's a comedian. So it's kind of funny, but it's still, he knows a lot of details about me. That's always a little alarming. But he's totally harmless as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, good. All right. So, but you're not open to him coming for the gift exchange?
I'll have to think about it. It's not off limits. Okay. I'm open to everything. So.
Whoa.
But thank you, Jean Thomas, for calling in.
All right. Last question. Sophie Clark wants to know, is there a particular person who would be more deserving to be in your position?
This is a Heidi Strobel.
Yeah, good name drop for Heidi.
No. Well, Heidi was on the list of she's on the hottest survivor list.
And Andrea, is it true? Were you snubbed for top 20 hottest survivor women?
I was not on the list.
They must be mad at you at CBS. you pissed somebody off there, didn't you?
I don't care.
Did you piss anybody off?
Maybe.
Do you think there was something you did that pissed off CBS?
Maybe I'm just not hot enough. Not as hot as Heidi Strobel.
Well,
it was funny to see her on there because they didn't do, they usually don't do a lot of past contestants. I think Colleen was on there though, maybe. No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of snubs. There's a lot of snubs.
Yeah. I think they should have done a vote. Well, no, because then it gets down to popularity. Either way, yeah.
I was offended for you.
I don't care.
There's no reason why you shouldn't have been there.
I would be more upset if I cared, because then I realize that I have my priorities not in check.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it was very upsetting to me as to have you as Miss Survivor and not be nominated for top 20 hottest women of Survivor.
I think I need to do more bikini shoots with Troy Zan or something. Maybe yeah. I'm not showing off enough on Instagram. I don't know.
But is that what
There's
it comes
strategies
down to?
I could work on.
Is that what it comes down to? Do they just look up hashtag Survivor on Instagram?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, who's more deserving for this?
I guess for Miss Survivor.
Well, I do think Candace probably would have been fun.
Yeah.
Well, she has a really good package deal. Like,
whoa.
There wasn't really any, like, Malcolm and I obviously didn't really work together on this whole Mr. and Miss Survivor thing. There was zero communication besides the one time that we sang karaoke together. So maybe Candace and John would have been great.
Is there any chance that you and Malcolm could work together on a duet as the outgoing Mr. and Mrs. Survivor?
Maybe like a send-off. Yeah.
Send-off. Yes.
Well, we'll have to contact him and see if he is down for it.
All right. We'll have to see. Yeah. I wish I could pull up the list of the top 20 hottest survivors and figure out the all of the snubs, but I think they took it down.
Oh, they did already? That's not fair.
They took it down. It was very fast. It was like they put it up and then they took it down.
So then it's not even like, even if you would have won, like who won?
That's going to be in an upcoming edition of the CBS magazine, Watch with an exclamation point.
Wait, it really is?
Yeah. Watch magazine.
Oh, so wait, who do you think is going to win?
Boy, that's tough. I think it'll be Parvati.
Yeah. I think that
she's the name brand there, I think.
No, I know. That's why I think as much as, oh, well, it was voting, was it? Then if it was voting, then Parvati is a really good shot. She has a nice fan base. What about Natalie Tenorelli? I always thought she was one of the hottest.
Well, I mean, I think that there's aesthetically, she is a beautiful woman, but I don't think she has the cachet as a, you know, famous survivor.
Yeah, it's going to be Parvati.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think it's got to be, you know, you got to combine the, you know, it's the total package.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not like they just gave the list of like, here's the headshots or you know, full body shots of 20 survivor women. And then we're just going to show them to random people. It's like in the voting of the survivor fans and who's like sort of like fresh in their mind.
Yeah. Parvati is cool. I ran into her recently just on the streets of New York.
You ran into her on the street. You're like,
yeah,
Jeff Probst.
Her and John Fincher.
Yes. And how is John Fincher?
John Fincher is a poser.
Yes. He was doing good.
Wait, who is that?
Jeff Probst.
Oh, he said, that's funny. Yeah, they seem good. I mean, I think it's tricky. I think the move from LA to New York has got to be hard, especially if you've been in LA for so long and then moving to New York. I mean, New York's not an easy city.
Yeah. Yes.
It'd be like 3 years to finally be like, oh, cool. I like it.
Okay. Wait, real quick. I got the voting open here. All right. Here's who they snubbed you for. Okay. Morgan, Candace, Angie, Christina Cha. Any issues there, Andrea?
See, I can't. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Just keep going.
All right. Second row.
I can't sit here and be like, oh, I think I'm hotter than someone, because I don't know. It's all in the eye of the person.
Second row. Okay.
Everyone they picked was pretty attractive. So it's not like there was any.
Let me read you the second row. All right. Jenna Maraska, Brenda, Chelsea Meisner, Kat Ederson.
I mean, they're all beautiful people. Are they all dateable? Let's see. Well, Kat didn't make the merge, so she's the least dateable, I would think.
All right, row three.
Angie didn't make the merge.
Angie did not make the merge. I'm pretty sure she's still dateable.
She's probably very dateable. I think she has a boyfriend.
All right, row three. Parvati, Nat 10, Whitney Duncan, Amber Berkich.
Oh, all really hot ladies.
Does it piss you off that Whitney Duncan is on this list and not you?
I think they could have. I mean, I think that whoever made the list, which I don't know if this was one person or like a room of people, I don't know. I mean, I could have been swapped out for one of the blondes, I think.
All right. Sydney Wheeler.
But they're all like, I'm not saying they're all really pretty. That's the thing. It's not, you know.
Nobody's saying they're not. All right.
Well, you're sitting there being like, who do you think shouldn't be on there?
Sydney Wheeler. Do you know who Sydney Wheeler is?
Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah.
Very attractive. But again, I don't know if she made the merge.
No, she didn't.
Monica Padilla.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Natalie White and Amanda Kimmel. That's row four.
Okay.
Okay. And then last row is Amy Cusack, Danny Boatwright, Elizabeth Filarski, Heidi Strobel. Those are your top 20.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd like to think that they had you at least at 21.
Yeah, I'll take 21.
But I think they should have found a way to get you on this list, Andrea.
I think they could have.
I think they could. I don't think it would have killed anybody to get you on this list.
Yeah, like I said, I'm obviously not upset. That would be really... I'd rather... Yeah, if there was like top 20... Well, even personalities, I'm not like a huge personality. I'm trying to think what would make me upset.
Does it bother you that Brenda's on the list and you're not on the list?
No, because Brenda is... I think Brenda is one of the most gorgeous Survivor ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Because she actually... She looks really good without makeup.
Yes.
And then... Oh, so Jacqueline wasn't even on the list.
Well, it's nobody from this season.
Oh, nobody from this season. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Jacqueline, yeah. Also very attractive, Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Miss Michigan.
Yeah. She's really, really pretty. She has a really good body, too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Andrew, yeah. I don't want to go out on a down note.
Well, no. See, the thing is if we were talking about the hot guys list.
Yes. Okay. We could talk about that real quick.
I would chirp in and be like, oh, what? Why isn't so-and-so? But it's really hard for me to talk about individual people on this list.
Well, let me just tell you real quick on the...
It makes me seem like petty or jealous.
No. You're just, we're talking. You're Miss Survivor. This is your jurisdiction, all things Survivor.
But the thing is I think they're all really attractive. And also, I wouldn't want to be like, I don't think Christina Cha should be on there. And then, like, Christina Cha listens. And then everyone's like,
she doesn't listen. She doesn't
listen. You think
listen.
You're hotter than Christina Cha? Like, it's just like a really
all
weird.
All right. Well, I don't want to put you in a bad spot. I don't want you to have to, because you're being so political right now. All right. Let me just real quick get your take on the hottest guy before I let you go. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. Yeah. Here, real quick. All right. Top 20 guys. Because there's a lot of guys from your season. Okay. Real quick. First row, John Cody, Hayden, LJ, and Young Woo Hwang.
Yeah, I mean, John Cody wins that row.
Okay, he wins that row, so he's moving on. Okay, we got Malcolm, Jay Byers, Otis, and Albert DeStrada.
Jay Byers
is moving on. Okay, then in the third heat, okay, is, here we go. This is the Redemption Island row. Okay, Keith Tollefson. You know who that is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Mike Chisel. Matt Elrod and Grant Matos.
Oh, wow. So many from...
Yes.
Wow.
So it's not even like that they were like, oh, they totally ignored Survivor Redemption Island.
Grant Matos, that's so random.
It's very random.
I would say it's a pretty attractive row, but I think Matt Elrod is still a really... He's a really good-looking guy. I would probably move him. It's tricky between him and Mike Chisel, because Mike Chisel is also really... hot.
He's very chiseled.
Yeah. Well, Mike Chisel is just a really awesome, but that's personality.
By the way, no Boston Rob on this list.
No, man. Can't win everything, can he?
He must have pissed somebody off too.
I know. He's probably sitting here looking at the list just
like, hey, what the hell's going on at this
Amber
list?
Amber got on the list.
They
not
put
even
Amber
on
the list and they don't even put me for hottest guy.
we'll do Matt Elrod.
All right, Elrod. All right, who's moving on? Here we go. We have Chase Rice. Let's get weird. We have Colby. We have James Clement and Brendan Sinnott. Do you know who that is?
Brendan.
Brendan Sinnott. He is
old school.
He's from Token Cheese. He's the creator of the Bare Naked Granola Company.
Oh, he's from Token Cheese.
Yeah, so he has more money than any. Well, maybe Chase Rice is going to have more money than him eventually.
Oh yeah, Chase Rice is blowing up.
He's blowing up.
That's really random.
Brenda she really missed out on that boat.
She did.
She really. What was the worst screw up for Brenda? Not getting together with Chase Rice when she had the chance, or not running for Miss Survivor?
Definitely Chase Rice. I mean, she could be touring around. She can be in all.
Yeah,
these
she could be. Oh my God.
He's like, I don't, that's so random that all of a sudden he's this household name.
Yeah, he was on Jimmy Kimmel this week.
What? It's crazy to me.
And so was a Rob Has a Podcast t-shirt. in the audience. All right.
There was? That's awesome.
It's Chase Rice, Colby, James Clement, Brendan Sinnott.
Well, Colby, but I think right now, maybe Chase. He's attractive.
Okay. All right. He has a lot going on. Okay. And then last row, here we go. We have Bobby John, Yule, Ozzy, and Marcus Lehman. You know who Marcus Lehman is?
Yeah, he's on Gabon.
Yes.
I'm not like crazy about this row.
You know, they put Marcus from Gabon on there. Bobby John, some guy from Granola.
Yeah, see, I think that they did a better job with the girls than the guys.
Yeah.
Some of the guys seem like a stretch.
A little bit of a stretch.
Or there's guys that should be on the list that aren't.
Yeah.
Let's see. Probably, I mean, I don't know. This row is tricky.
Marcus, Ozzy, Yule, Bobby John. We need an answer.
Okay, let's just do, I don't know. I guess maybe Marcus.
Marcus. Okay.
Maybe that was wrong.
Really? That's you're going Marcus. All right.
That was probably the wrong choice. I just wanted to throw that one in there.
All right, that's fine. And then the top five, baby. John Jay, Matt Elrod, Marcus, and Chase Rice. Who is the hottest Survivor guy of all time?
I'm going to have to go with our Price is Right contestant.
Jay Byers, come on down. You're the winner of the Andrea Belke Hottest Survivor of All Time. Andrea, wow. Jay Byers, how about that?
Oh my gosh.
He did it. He's the big winner.
He's the big winner. Congratulations.
Congratulations to Jay Byers. Oh, my God. All right. Well, Andrea, thank you so much. Did Spencer get snubbed? Should Spencer have been on the top 20?
I love Spencer. Yeah, he should have.
Okay. All right.
Spencer and I could get married. That's possible.
You could get married. Would you have like one of those deals? Like if you're both like 40 and not married?
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm over Survivor contestants, but Spencer is one that we're still considering marriage in the future.
So is there a chance that you and Spencer get married?
There's a chance, yeah.
Spencer has zero chance.
Okay, well, that's not what Jeff said.
You'll have to ask him when you talk to him.
Wow. Could you imagine what strategic kids you guys would have? Two people in the strategic six?
Oh, gosh, so strategic.
It would be such a strategic six. Yes. All right. Andrea, you have to run. Follow Andrea on Twitter. You're just Andrea Belke?
Yep.
Okay. There it is. Andrea.
Belke.
Okay. Anything else online you want to tell people about?
Yeah. You can just follow me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. But I'm right now with the CBS Local Sports, the Untitled Sports Show is kind of what I'm doing. But I usually post everything and update. So the whole shebang.
Andrea, do you have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
Oh, man. You're going to put me on the spot.
Yes. Yes.
What? That's not fair.
What? Well, that's what I do to everybody.
Let's see. What did we talk about?
We've talked about so many things. Hashtag congrats, Jay.
We'll do, yeah. Hashtag... Congrats, Jay. Hashtag.
Are you doing multiple hashtags?
Why not?
Okay, sure.
Whenever you feel, whatever you want to do, whatever floats your boat.
All right, so congrats, Jay. And then is this an either or this is an and?
This is an either or.
Okay, either or. What's the other one?
Hashtag Spenstria.
Spenstria.
As you can see, I'm clearly trying to make this happen.
Yeah, is that what it would be?
He's probably going to listen to this and think I'm creepy.
Yeah. I feel like you guys would be better be answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what about answer?
Hashtag answer, yeah.
Answer. Okay, that's good. Because also you use strategic, you have answers.
Hashtag strategical.
All right. Any of those options will work. We're just happy that you got to the end. All right.
Yeah, just use one of those three hashtags when you rave about this episode.
All right, Andrea, thank you so much. Okay, and fantastic job today. A Miss Survivor worthy appearance on the podcast, and look forward to hearing more from you next month.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Andrea Belkey, Miss Survivor, back here. Great spot. I think this was far and away Andrea's best performance here on Rob Has a Podcast. Very, very fun chat with Andrea, and she did a great job. Looking forward to talking to her a lot more as we go through Miss Survivor. I can't believe it already that we're going into Miss Survivor next month. So that'll be a lot of fun. Again, I told you at the top of the show, Gordon Holmes coming up tomorrow. That's going to be a fun interview. Always love getting to talk to Gordon. And then we're going to do it all over again. Last regular podcast week of the season for Survivor San Juan del Sur. I'm really looking forward to the conversation with Spencer on Thursday. I think it's going to be a very fun way to wrap up the regular season of Rob Has a Podcast. And don't worry, we're going to do our whole big thing. We'll do Survivor Know-It-Alls after the finale. We'll have exit interviews, and I'm also planning a wrap-up podcast after the finale. I believe that Josh Wiggler is going to be in town. We're going to talk together and take your voicemails and take your thoughts on the finale as well. So we'll do a little bit more of a wrap-up on the season than we've done in some of the years past. Plus, also, it's the Amazing Race finale coming up next week. And also, I'm working on the annual tradition on Rob Has a Podcast for Happy Holidays 3 is coming to Rob Has a Podcast once again later on this month. Of course, speaking of our Happy Holidays, if you're still doing any of your holiday shopping, the best place to do it is with our links on Amazon.com. All sorts of deals going on all December long on Amazon. Really helps support the podcast when you do your shopping using our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon.ca. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Bye.